If I ask you guys, I asked the congregation earlier, I said, by a show of hands, I said, who in here drinks coffee? Raise your hand if you drink coffee. I mean, raise it high. It's okay. I know you don't have coffee breath. You're okay. All right? All right? And I'm part of the club, too. So, anyway. Okay. So, it's a lot of people in here who drink coffee. Who in here likes their coffee hot? Raise your hand. A lot of folks like it hot. Okay? Who in here likes your coffee cold? Yeah, just like the earlier service. Not as many as y'all. All right. Okay. But it is some people who like it cold. Praise God. Okay. Now, who in here, when you drink your coffee, if you drink it hot or if you drink it cold, who in here likes to let the coffee sit for a while and then when you go to take that sip, it's kind of lukewarm. It's kind of got that warm. Who in here likes it? Who still likes it? Oh, my gosh. It's a few of y'all. Man, don't raise your hands no more. Okay. Praise God. Well, I appreciate you identifying, self-identifying. Okay. Here's the deal. Would it surprise you to know that God does not like lukewarm Christians? Who in here knows that today? Who in here knows that God does not want a Christian to be lukewarm? Amen? All right. Also, get a couple of things straight. Am I talking to believers? Am I talking to God's people? Okay. Y'all not ashamed? Okay. All right. I want to make sure I'm talking to the right audience. Okay. Is this the church? Is this the church? All right. The building? The people. The people. Somebody said it. Amen. The people who profess Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, who come together for corporate worship as a body of believers, who come together for the purpose of carrying out God's, what God requires, advancing God's kingdom here on earth. That is who the church is. Amen? Amen. Put your hands together if you're part of that. Amen. Amen. All right. So with that being said, I'd ask that you stand to your feet as we get ready to go before God and read where our scripture is going to come from today. It's going to come from the book of Revelation, chapter 3, verses 15 and 16. Very familiar passage of scripture for all of you Bible scholars. When you have it, say amen.
Amen.
It's okay. I guess it's not back there. Okay. All right. Here we go. The word of God reads as follows. It says, this is Jesus talking. He says, I know your works. You are neither cold nor hot. I wish you were either cold or hot. So because you are lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I am about to spit you out of my mouth. Wow. This is the word of God for the people of God. You may take your seat. So this is Jesus talking, and I want to set the scene. In the book of Revelation, up until this point, Jesus is talking to all of the churches, right? He's talking to the churches. At this point, he's talking to church number 7. 7 is the number of what?
Completion.
Say it like you know.
Completion.
7 is the number of completion. So he's talking to all of the churches that are over in modern day Turkey. Okay. He's talked to the other 6 already. Now he's talking to the last one, the church at Laodicea. Right. And he's talking to them and he's letting them know whether he's pleased with them or he's not pleased with them. Who in here knows that it's possible for you to be coming to church Sunday after Sunday and for God not to be pleased with the church? Who in here believes that? Amen. Well, if you don't believe it, it's okay. I'm going to share with you in the word of God because I don't want you to take my word. Let's see what God has to say. But it is possible for God not to be pleased with you coming to church. You feel like you checking the box. You feel like, God, I get credit. I came out to church today. I didn't fall, you know, asleep. Give me credit for that. You know, I mean, the preacher preached too long. I was thinking about what was on my phone, what we going to eat. But Lord God, I came out. I couldn't tell you five words that the pastor said or the preacher said after the service, but I was there. God will not allow us to serve him how we want to serve him. Yeah. This is not Burger King. You can't have it your way. Yeah. It has to be God's way. 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 No other way. Amen? Y'all still walking with me? All right. Praise God. So Jesus is talking to this church. The other six churches that he's already talked to, how many of them got a good report? Only two. Only two of the other six churches that he talked to, did he give a good report? Did he say, I like the job that you're doing. I like what you're doing. I approve of how you're worshiping me and what you're doing. Only two other churches, Smyrna and Philadelphia, right? Those are the only other two churches. Now here he is talking to the church of Laodicea, right? And now he has how he sees what they're doing, and now he has to give them their grade. Laodicea, unlike the other churches, even the other four that he said he wasn't pleased with them, but the other four had where he at least told them that they were doing some things right. They weren't doing everything right, but they were doing a few things right. He comes to Laodicea, he doesn't say to them, you're not even doing anything right. You don't have at least one thing you're doing right. What a charge against the church. What a charge against the people who profess Jesus as their Savior. Jesus said this over 2,000 years ago, but I believe God's word is still relevant today. I believe that we can come into the church in 2025, and God can come into this church and say, I'm not happy with what you're doing. I'm not happy with what you're doing. I'm not happy with what you're doing. But our God is such a great God. He's such an awesome God that not only is he going to say either he's happy or he's not, but if he's not, he's going to tell you why he's not. He's going to lay it down. You're doing this, you're doing this, you're doing this. I know it. I don't approve of it. You need to stop. So I need for you guys to hear what God has to say today. Laodicea was a wealthy banking center, proud of her rich resources. In AD 60, the city was destroyed by an earthquake. But rather than accepting aid from the Roman Empire, the people of Laodicea refused any help and rebuilt the city themselves with their own resources. You see, Laodicea, they was a proud city. They didn't need anybody's help. They didn't want anybody's charity. That was the city. But the city crept into the church. Yeah. Did y'all hear what I just said?
Yes. Yes.
The city crept into the church. How the city was acting became how the church was acting. How the city did business became how the church did business. Y'all ain't walking with me. All right. Okay. All right. So here we are. Yet while Laodicea, they appeared to have everything, right? Because they were known for three things. Three things they were known for. Banking. They produced a lot of wool. And they produced medicine. In particular, this eye salve that people came from all around the world to get. Like if you had, I guess, some type of glaucoma, they had some type of medicine in Laodicea that people came from all over to get. And they prided themselves on, hey, we're a thriving city. We got it going on. People come all over here to get what we got. Kind of sounds like San Antonio. People are moving here to San Antonio in droves. Yeah. I mean, my wife is like, man, what happened to, it was all wooded area when we moved out here. Now you can't shake a stick without hitting somebody, can you? Sound like San Antonio. All right. So here's Laodicea. They lacked nothing. At least they thought they didn't. But in actuality, they lacked the most basic of resources. They lacked good water. You see, unlike the mountain town of Colossae that had cold, refreshing water streams about 6 miles down the road, or nearby Hierapolis that had access to hot water springs, Laodicea didn't have that. They had lukewarm water. As a matter of fact, Laodicea, in order to get their water, they had to build aqueducts, and they had to have their water piped in. They had water that came from Colossae up in the mountains where the water was cold, but because they had to travel 6 to 8 miles to get to them, by the time it got to them, It wasn't cold no more. It was lukewarm. And the same thing when they piped the water in, the hot water that came from Hierapolis, it was hot when it started out. These are hot springs, but it had to travel 6 to 8 miles to get to them. So by the time it got to them, the water wasn't hot no more. The water was lukewarm. And then because it was traveling in these pipes, it had this sediment in the water. It is said that people who visited Laodicea, they said when they drank the water, if you wasn't from there, when you drank the water, because it was lukewarm and because it had like this sediment taste in it, like, you know, hay, rocks and whatever, minerals, it said the natural reaction that most people had is they would spit the water out because it was a bad tasting water. I shared with the earlier service, sounds a whole lot like San Antonio water to me, don't it? Anybody in here like to drink water out of the tap in here? Yeah, okay, all right. We got two people. We've been drinking out of the bottle ever since we got here. Anyway, all right, it's terrible. It's hard, anyway, it's terrible water. I'm gonna get back to this. So anyway, that was the predicament for Laodicea. And here it is that Jesus is talking to them, and Jesus, doing Jesus things, does exactly what he typically does. Jesus takes something that you can relate to in the natural, and he shows you an application of where it is in the spiritual. Jesus took the water that the Laodiceans would have been well acquainted with. They knew the state of that water. He said, I'm going to tell you about yourself, and I'm going to use something that you shouldn't have no problem picking up when I'm putting down. He says, I would prefer that you were either cold or hot. But he said, because you're not neither cold nor hot, you're lukewarm, I'm going to vomit you out my mouth. That was a serious, 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 serious accusation against that church. Jesus said, I'm going to spit you out. So I need you to get this visual. God says, I take you in. You're my people. If God gets to the point where he says, you're not useful, you're not beneficial to me, you're not living how I want you to live, you're not preaching and representing me how I want you to preach, and you're so, so bad that it's at the point where I would rather spit you out because you're no use to me. Just like the water that you guys been drinking, when other people drink your water, they spit it out. That's what I'm going to do to you. That's how you're living before me, and I'm not going to go for it. What would make Jesus so kind, so loving, so gentle, so meek? Jesus, who never says a cross word to anybody, what would make Jesus talk to somebody like that? That's not the Jesus y'all know, is it? Does Jesus talk to people like that? I want to make sure I'm talking to the right people. It's not a trick question. The answer is Jesus will rebuke you.
Yes, he will.
Jesus will correct you. I know we live in a time where correcting people ain't, you know, hey, that's not politically correct. But I'm here to tell you, God will correct you. God gonna tell you like it T.I. is. You might not want to hear it, but he gonna give it to you straight, and it ain't gonna be no chaser. He ain't gonna soften it. Hey, I need for you to understand. You're messing up. And I don't want to soften it. I don't want to flower it. I don't want you to be thinking, well, I kind of think he was all right. Jesus said, I'm not all right with it. Look him right in the face. I'm not all right with it. You need to knock it off. So here's what he goes on to say. Jesus tells the Laodicean church that they're just like their water. I know your works. You're neither cold nor hot. I would that you were either cold or hot. So because you're lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. Point number one. Let's talk about this thing where he says about the hot drink. What is the hot drink? Because he says, you know, I prefer either you are hot or cold. Well, what's this hot drink all about? In our first point, we look at it, what it means to be hot. A hot drink symbolizes a life filled with passion and zeal for God. Romans 12 and 11 says it this way. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. When we are hot in our faith and we are actively pursuing a relationship with God, engaging in prayer and in worship and in service, we seek to live out God's commands in Matthew 6:33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and all of his righteousness. Now, all these other things, they're going to be added to you. All right. But your first thing has to be, I'm about my Father's business. I want to do what pleases God. I want to live a life that God is well pleased with. I want to do the things that God says, that's what I'm talking about. Well done, my good and faithful servant. But you can't do that as long as you're talking about I'm doing me. I know the world that we live in today says, do you.
Yeah.
I'm here to tell you, that's not theologically sound. That does not line up with what God's word says. My Bible says God is a jealous God. My Bible says that God will not allow you or me or anyone else to put anything before him. I don't care what you want to do. I don't care what you like to do. I don't care who told you it's okay. If it don't line up with what God say, it's a lie from the devil. And I rebuke it in the name of Jesus. Amen. 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 So we got to seek God first. We see examples of folks that was hot for God in the Bible. I don't know about y'all. I like to have an example to go by. You know, I can read and everything, but if you give me a visual, that usually brings it home for me. When I read the Bible, I think about the Apostle Paul. You talking about somebody who was hot, somebody who ran hot for God, somebody who said, I'll go where you tell me to go. I'll say what you tell me to say. Even if they stone me, which they did, even if they whip me 40 times minus one lash, 39 times with the rod, even if they whip me, even if they beat me so bad that they leave me for dead, I'm still going to get up and preach your word. As long as I got breath in my body, as long as the blood still runs warm in my body, I'm going to tell somebody, I'm going to tell anybody, I'm going to tell everybody about this great God, this good God, this awesome God, this God of mine who saved me, who did for me what I couldn't do for myself. Oh, God is a good God, and he's greatly to be praised. I don't care if he's not popular over there. I don't care if he's not popular over there. But guess what? He's popular over here, and I'm going to tell somebody. Hallelujah. Paul was hot for God. God wants people who are going to be on fire for him. And I'm here to tell you, our God is an all-consuming fire. I'm here to tell you, God can set you on fire. Oh, when you start to think about the goodness of Jesus. I'm going to tell you something right now. If you really start thinking about the goodness of Jesus and what he has done for you, all he has done for you, something starts to happen when you start to warm up. Something starts to happen when you start to heat up. I get a little hot. I still get a little fired up when I start thinking about, oh, how he saved me. Oh, what he's done for me. He took me all the way around the world. I get up in these airplanes. He gives me traveling mercy. Oh, he took me over in Iraq. Oh, he protected me when I was in Iraq. Oh, he blessed me with a wonderful wife. He blessed me with children. Oh, my God is such a good God. He's an awesome God. Did for me what I couldn't do for myself. I'm going to sing his praises for the rest of my life. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So I ain't going to just let the Apostle Paul cry out. I'm going to cry out to God for myself. I don't know about you, but God has been good to me. I don't know about you, but God has been good to me. If God's been good to you, you ought to stand to your feet and give God some praise. Stand to your feet and give God some praise. Hallelujah, praise God. Hallelujah, praise God. Hallelujah, praise God. And I need you to understand, you're not doing it for me. You're doing it for the King. You're doing it for the King. Hallelujah, praise God. Hallelujah, praise God. Hallelujah, praise God. Are we excited about sharing the gospel? Are we excited about serving others? Like the healing hot waters that came down from Hierapolis near Colossae. It says, is your faith the medicine that God is using to make others better? That hot water that came from Hierapolis. Y'all ever jumped in a real hot, like, y'all, I don't know if they make bathtubs like they used to anyway, but, you know, I remember, like, hey, I was a kid. My mom, she's like, hey, it's time to take a bath. I dreaded taking a bath. Yeah, no. My mom ran that water scalding hot. Man, I used to try to get in there, and she'd throw me in, you know? That water was so hot. But you know what? After a while, that water started feeling good. You know what I mean? I'd be like sitting there like I'm floating in it or whatever, but it felt so good, that hot water or whatever. Now that I got a little older and everything, you know, how many of y'all in here have sore muscles, anytime have sore muscles or anything like that? Y'all know, Uncle Arthur, is he a friend of yours? I know somebody here know what I'm talking about. Y'all ever had that icy hot treatment or something like that? Anybody here know about icy hot? All right. Anybody here know about Bengay? All right, I ain't by myself. Okay, all right. You know how they can put that stuff on you and it can start heating up and everything? Man, that joint start feeling a little bit better. It had been stiff. That muscle, you know, a little tight. Now it start to loosen up. It's something about the hot that does something to our body, some kind of medicinal purposes. Well, that's what that water was like. And Jesus likened the spiritual state of these people in Laodicea. He's like, you're not hot. At least when it's hot, it's doing something for me. You're willing to go tell somebody about me. But right now, you're in a state you won't even talk to nobody about me. But let's bring it to where we are today. Because I know that was over 2,000 years ago. But what about the church today? Yeah. We go all these different places. We live in neighborhoods now. People don't have, we want to speak to their neighbor. Yeah. Much less go down to your neighbor and tell them about Jesus. Yeah. Who in here is willing to go down their block, knock on some doors, and introduce yourself and say, I just wanted to stop by. I want to introduce myself. And I just wanted to tell you, God loves you. Amen. Folk, I mean, that's what God is looking for his people to do. God is not looking for Christians to be 007. God is not wanting his people to say, oh, you quiet when it comes time to talking about me. But when it comes time to talking about the BET Awards, oh, you can get down. Oh, I'm talking about me now. Now look around. Oh, when it comes time to talk about the NBA draft. Oh, you can talk about, oh, Duke sent 5 players to the NBA draft. Oh, by the way, which they did. Okay, by the way, which they did. But God says, oh, you can talk about that. But why you won't talk about, I want to draft some people. Why you won't tell some people that I want to draft them? You know, God is looking to draft some people. You know, I read in the Bible where God says we're soldiers in God's army. God is building an army. God is looking to draft some people. And how God is wanting to do it is he's wanting to use you. He's wanting to use you, 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 and me. God says, will you go into your communities? Will you tell them about me? Will you go on your job? I'm not telling you to get fired because you recruiting on the job, but will you put your Bible on your desk?
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Come on now. Yeah.
Will you put your Bible on your desk and see if somebody says, hey, so you're Christian? Mm-hmm. See if somebody's willing to say, hey, will you pray for me?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Hey, can you tell me what church you go to? Just by something as simple as, will you put your Bible on your desk?
That's right.
But half the time right now, it's a sad accusation. We won't do it.
Yeah.
We've made friendship with the world. We've compromised the standard of God. We're going along to get along. That's not what God is calling for.
Yeah.
God says, I've called you to be separate. I called you out of the world. We're in the world, but we're not of this world. We've been created to bring honor, glory, and praise to God. The attention has to go back to God. The attention has to go back to God. The attention has to go back to God. We talk about everything else, but we don't want to talk about the goodness of Jesus. We go into these places and we say, good morning, but nobody wants to say, praise God, good morning, somebody. Nobody wants to say, praise God, good morning, somebody. You don't know what God will do. Oh, when the word comes out about God, you don't know what God is getting ready to do. And when it goes out, God knows what it's going to do. But if all we do is do like the world does, that's not what God is looking for. God said, I made you. You trying to fit in, but God said, I made you to stand out. You trying to fit in. God says, I didn't call for you to fit in. You know what being sanctified means, right? It means being set apart. I've been set apart for God's special use. If you know Jesus Christ and the pardon of your sins, you've been set aside for God's special use. God ain't called you to try to fit in with the world. God says, I called you to be separate from the world. I want to bring honor to me. I want the recognition to come to me. I want the attention to come to me. Can I use you to do that? Will you go into the gym and tell somebody about me? I know you in there to work out, but will you tell somebody, man, ain't God good? Man, I think about the goodness of God. I used to only be able to lift 10 pounds. Now I'm able to lift 15. God is good. You don't know what God is going to do with that. I've seen God do it. I'm not telling you what I think. I'm telling you what I know. I've seen God do it. But are you willing to speak up? Are you willing to let the boldness of God, the Spirit of God who lives in you, are you willing to say, when God tells you to go over there, I want you to talk to him. Will you do it? Or will you fight yourself? Will you let your flesh win and say, but they're going to think I'm crazy. If I go over there, they're going to be like, they're going to look at me strange. Young people, when you're in school, God has called you. If you know Jesus Christ and the pardon of your sins, he's called you to be his witnesses. He's called you to be his ambassadors. He has called you not to try to fit in like the rest of the kids that don't know Jesus Christ and the pardon of his sins. He's called you to stand out. He's called you by the things you do to bring him honor, glory, and praise. By the things you don't do to bring him honor, glory, and praise. Stand up and don't be afraid. Be who God has called you to be. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's the power of God unto salvation to everybody that believes. If you're not ashamed of God, you ought to stand to your feet and give God some praise in this place. God has been too good for you to sit down. You need to stand up and give God some praise. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. You see, I just believe that God is worth shouting for. You know, God saved me from the fiery pits of hell. I was on my way to hell. I was on my way to hell with a smile on my face. But God loved me so much that he got my attention. He got my attention. And after he got my attention, he got my heart. God wants your heart today. And when you start to think about what God saved you from, that if it had not been for the Lord who is on your side, when you start to think about where would I be? Somebody would be in jail. Somebody would be dead. Somebody would be out of their mind right now. The only reason you got peace, the only reason you have a semblance of joy, the only reason you have anything is because of the goodness of God. You ought to give God some praise in this place. Hallelujah. All right, point number two, the cold drink. When we consider the cold drink, you know, this is kind of like, whoa, Lord, what are you saying to him on this? The interpretation of cold in this passage has a couple of meanings. In the context of Laodicea, which received water piped in from the cold spring in nearby Colossae, cold represents refreshing and useful for drinking. Therefore, cold in this context can symbolize a useful and refreshing faith, like the cold water that revitalizes and sustains. So, I thought about this. Man, I played basketball. I shared with the earlier congregation. I played basketball in Mississippi growing up, you know, from Chicago, went down to Mississippi every summer. Played basketball, and man, it's a different kind of heat down in Mississippi. I'll tell you that right now. Man, it's some kind of humid down there. Man, I'm out there playing with my uncles and stuff like that. Had on my white socks. Man, they never turn white again. That red clay dirt, once that red clay dirt get in those socks, they're done. You might as well throw them away. Anyway, I'm out there playing, sweat popping off of me and everything. Man, I tell you what, no matter how I tried to wipe it off, it still was coming right back. By the time the game was over, man, it didn't seem like it was any better drink in the world than when I reached my hand down in that cold cooler. I get a bottle of water, I open that water, I drink that cold water. Oh man, that cold water is the best drink it seemed like I ever had. Like, God, I don't think you ever made a better drink than this. I mean, that cold water, it refreshed you, it revived you, it sustained you. That cold water had a purpose. It served a purpose, it was useful. Here Jesus is telling the Laodiceans, you're neither hot and you're not cold. You're not serving a purpose. The hot water serves a purpose. The cold water was serving a purpose. The Laodiceans in their spiritual state were not serving a purpose at all. So God says, I need to get your attention. Another look at being cold is a person who is completely detached from the faith or even in opposition, in active opposition to God. Now, that's a negative thing, right? So you're like, why would God say, I would prefer you either hot or cold, if cold can signify or represent somebody who's not in the faith? I'm glad you asked that question. While cold may seem negative at first glance, it can represent a state of honesty and clarity. In John 3, 20 and 21, we read, everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light. So what God is saying right here is, hey, you got people that know that they're not saved. They know they're not following God. But at least they know. They're not deceiving themselves. They're not trying to walk around where Jesus was talking about this church. You walking around and trying to say, you with me. You trying to walk around and say, I'm good with God. And God is like, you deceiving yourself. At least the person who it says, I'm an atheist, the person who says, I don't believe in God, whatever, or the person who says, well, maybe God is real or whatever, but I don't know, I just haven't, I'm not going down that path. At least that person is saying, on a point of clarity, I know I'm not in relationship with the God of the Bible. I'm not. Either I just don't believe it, or for whatever reasons, but they're not trying to say, I'm fooling myself like I'm with God. And God says, I would rather you be either over here or over here. At least the person over here still has an opportunity to come to know God. I want to give you an example. Don't take my word for it. What about in the Bible when we think about the thief on the cross? It was two thieves, one on either side of Jesus. They all was up there dying on the cross. But guess what? One of them, after, you know, they both started out mocking Jesus, making fun on the cross. If y'all read the story, they started out making fun. But at a certain point, something got real. At a certain point, for one of the thieves, something got real. At a certain point, one of them said, truly, we're up here. We deserve what we're getting. Me and you, the other thief. We up here because that's the life we live. But he said, this is a good man. He said, this is a good man. He ain't did nothing wrong. Then he turned and he said those words that will ring throughout history. He said, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Amen? Yeah. Amen? Yeah. So he was cold, but he went from being cold when he heard those words, you too will be with me this day in paradise. He went from being cold to he got accepted in Jesus's family. No, he was no longer cold. Now he could be hot. He was only hot for a minute because he was only on the cross for a little bit longer. But guess what? Him turning from cold to hot made the eternal difference. I'm here to tell you. I'm here to tell you. I'm here to tell you. Hey, he got it right. He got it right. The other thief, they said he never said anything like that. So he stayed cold. He's eternally separated from God for all of eternity. The other thief is in the presence of Almighty God, because he heard, he recognized, his eyes were open to the truth of who Jesus was. He wasn't fooling himself anymore.
Yeah.
It got real.
Yeah.
God is looking for real people. God wants you to be real about this thing. The Bible says, let a man examine himself to see if he's in the faith. God says, I need you to examine yourself to see if you really, if you know that you know that you know that you're walking with me. And the only way you can do it, it can't be on how you feel. It can't be on what mama said. It can't be on, well, you know, I think I am. It can only be by what God's word says. We have to be in the word of God, and the word of God has to be in us. You have to be reading God's word, and you have to be in God's word so much till you know what pleases God. Because God is taking the time out to tell you, here's what pleases me. God wants a life of obedience, and we walk by faith and not by sight. If we're going to please God, we have to believe him by faith. After we believe him, we have to obey him. Whatever God tells us to do, that's what we got to do. Whatever God says don't do, we can't do it. Amen? All right. Now we're going to get to the last point. The lukewarm drink. This is where I got about five or six people in here who said they like lukewarm coffee. Y'all see me after service. I think we'll have some left out there. All right. Okay. Finally, we arrive at the lukewarm drink. This is perhaps the most dangerous state of all. Revelation 3 and 16 warns us that being lukewarm makes God want to spit us out of his mouth. A lukewarm life is characterized by complacency and indifference. We may attend church, maybe we read our Bibles, and even serve in a ministry. But if our hearts are not fully engaged with God, we risk becoming ineffective. James 1 and 25 says it this way. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Imagine that. Do what it says. Are we merely going through the motions, or are we genuinely living out our faith before God? A lukewarm Christian, like the Laodiceans, are unusable for Jesus Christ. They're no good for medicinal purpose, and they don't bring refreshing spirit around other people, becoming even disgusting to drink. I'm here to tell you, if we're trusting anything other than God, we're sinning. The problem with the Laodiceans is they started trusting their money. They started trusting their wealth. They started trusting their status. They started trusting everything else, just like the city folk, instead of trusting God. I've lived this life long enough to know money comes and goes. Money comes and goes. Your health can come and go. Your job, I'm a federal employee. Your job can come and go.
Okay. Okay.
But I'm here to tell you what don't come and go. The love of Jesus. The love of Jesus. The love of God. It's forever and ever and ever and ever. I don't care who walks out of your life. I don't care who says, I'm with you today, but I'm gone tomorrow. That's not how God works.
Yeah.
God says, I'm going to be there forever and ever and ever. God says, guess what? Even when you weren't faithful, I was still faithful.
Yeah.
God says, even when you turned away and walked away from me, guess who said, I'm still with you? The Bible says God is married to the backslider.
Yeah.
That even when you turn, and the world, the cares of the world are calling you, God says, but I'm still faithful, that I love you, and that I'm calling you to come back. So what I want you all to understand today, I believe what God would have us to know is the state of the Laodicean church, the spiritual state, even though that was 2,000 plus years ago, is still relevant today. But here's the thing. It's an individual thing. I have no way of being able to look at you and know what is that thing that you're starting to worship instead of God. I don't know if it's your money. I don't know if it's your clothes. I don't know if it's your shoes. I don't know if it's your job. I don't know if it's another person. But whatever that thing is that you're putting before God, God is not pleased. And the same thing that he told the Laodiceans over 2,000 years ago, he's telling people today. That if you're that person and you're playing church, it's time out for playing church. It's time to be the church. I knew I wasn't going to get a whole lot of amens, but I got to say what God says to say. God wants his people to be genuine. God wants his people to have faith in him, trust in him, love for him, and obedience towards him. Everything else is over. You got to push it away. We have to seek the kingdom of God first. God has to have first place in our hearts, in our minds, in the things that we go to do, the things that we don't do. God is so serious about this thing, even in the things we watch on TV. God says, am I pleased with that? Do I want you doing that? What you looking at on the computer? Do I want you looking at that? The thing you're looking at on your cell phone. Do I want you looking at that? Do I want you talking like that? Do I want you sending pictures like that? But then we'll turn around, like Pastor Love said, it's tough to watch the BET Awards, because then the next thing you need it, I want to give all honor and glory and praise to God. God will not be mocked. God will not be mocked. God will not be mocked. God is so serious. God is so serious. We need to get serious. We need to get serious. This is the word of God for the people of God, for the glory of God. May God bless you. So, the Bible says God doesn't want to see anybody lost. God, the Bible says the good shepherd, he leaves the 99 that are found to go find the one that's lost. If you're in here and you're under the sound of my voice and you know God is talking to you through this message, then maybe you've been playing church. You've been going through the motions. You've been, you know, trying to fit in. But God says, but you're not in. God wants you to be in. He wants you to be part of his family. He wants you under his covering. He wants you to know that you know that you know that if your life ended in the next 5 minutes, that you're going to spend eternity with him. It's just that serious. It's just that serious. Your soul is at stake. Where your soul is going to spend eternity is at stake. Jesus said, I want you to be with me. Jesus is extending an invitation right now. The Holy Spirit is moving in this place. He's touching hearts. He's touching minds. He's convicting. He's not condemning, but he is convicting. You got an opportunity right now to say, Lord God, I know you're talking to me. I'm the one you're talking to. I can't run no more. I don't want to be that person anymore. I want to be real for you. If I ain't been real for nothing else in my life, I want to be real for you. Because you're just too good. You've shown me grace and mercy when I didn't deserve it. And now here you are standing with your hand out. And he's saying, I want you to turn from what you've been doing, repent of that, and turn to me. If you believe that God is talking to you, if you know God is talking to you, and you want to become part of God's family by trusting Jesus and what he did at Calvary's cross, that he laid down his life so that we could have life, that 3 days later he got up with all power, and that one day he's coming back for his people. If you want to know that you're one of the people he's coming back for, I ask that you stand up right now. I'd ask that you stand up. I'd ask that you stand up. I believe that what God is offering is so precious that we shouldn't try to do like 007 and try to do it on the low. I believe that what God is offering is worth not being ashamed about. With tears in your eyes, whatever it is, don't let nothing stop you from getting what God wants to give you. God wants to save you right now. God wants you to know that you know that you know that you're part of His family. If that's you and God is talking to you, I ask that you stand to your feet right now. Stand to your feet. Amen. Amen. Come on, stand to your feet. If God is talking to you, I'd ask that you stand to your feet. Don't be afraid. Your soul is too precious. Tomorrow is not promised. Hallelujah. If you know that you have been saved and been blood bought, been filled with the Spirit of God, you know that you know that you know that you're a Christian, but something has happened on the journey that has caused you to stop running hot. And now you started going after the cares of this world. If that's you and you've turned from God, God says, I'm married to the backslider. God wants you to know that you can get back in right fellowship, right relationship, that He can return to you the joy of your salvation. You know how you felt when you first got saved? You wanted to go tell everybody. You couldn't wait to go tell everybody. You had to tell somebody, oh, this is what God did for me. God saved me. You was in the grocery store. You was at the school. You was on the block. You was at the family reunion. You was telling everybody that God saved you because you were so happy about it. But something has happened. Something else has stole your joy. Something else has replaced your joy. If that's you and you know God is talking to you, stand up. Stand up and get back in right relationship with God. If you know God is talking to you, stand up. The Spirit of God is moving in this place. God is moving in this place. If that's you, stand up and we'll pray with you and you can get back in right relationship with God and we can keep it moving. Forgetting those things that are behind, we can press on. Hallelujah. 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 Have your way, God. Move, Holy Spirit, in this place. Hallelujah.